Hello and welcome to Booktopia. You're on. I'm Bronwyn.
I'm John.
I'm Sarah.
And today we're talking about our Christmas wish lists. So we've put together on the site a really great collection of amazing books. There are almost too many that are out in time for Christmas.
Wait. Did you say too many? There's no such thing as too many books. The phrase too many books does not
exist. It does not compute.
Well, it does when you're running out of room in your bedroom.
No,
then you just start giving them away.
Yeah.
No.
You move the bed or you get a smaller bed and then you put a bookcase right in the middle
of
the room.
Or you make your bed out of books.
Yeah. Lift it up underneath books. No, there's always ways.
There are already a million books under my bed.
Yeah, but you've got bookcases under your bed.
No, I've got drawers, and when you pull the drawers out, they're full of books.
Yeah, no, and then just spill out into places you're not meant to have books.
I already have.
Yeah. Beyond.
Yeah. I need an entire new house just for myself.
And there's always the floor.
Yeah. The best thing about books is giving books. Like, you choose a book for the right person, and it can change their life. It can just give them 2 weeks of great fun on a holiday. There's so many things books can do. They can keep kids quiet in the back of a car. They're magical things. On the plane, those terrible movies that you end up watching. But if you get into a good book, the plane ride goes...
I strongly believe that it's the best gift that you can give someone. And I'm not just saying that because I work at a bookstore and it's easy for me to get
them. No, but you work
in
a bookstore because of this.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people, when they get books from me, and all they do is get books from me at every birthday and Christmas... Sometimes I worry that they think I'm phoning it in. But honestly, even if I didn't have easy access to the books, I'd still be getting everyone I know books.
I agree. I mean, and I take a lot of pleasure in when people come to me and ask for a book recommendation. That's one of my favorite things to do. And like, okay, what genre do you like? And then we just like delve into it. Because every day we're exposed to all the great books and... it's our job to talk about them and know about them, that kind of thing. And,
yeah.
And I'm really, I've been looking at, I keep seeing books pop up that I'm like, ooh, this might be good for, mum or for my friend or, it's...
Well, that's what the whole collection is for, really. It's just so... If you go onto our gift guide, Christmas gift guide, you just wander through. And we do break it up into little sections, but you can wander wherever you like, go against our rules and regulations and just browse. It's just one of those things. You will come across books that you didn't know you existed for one, but then you didn't know were just so perfect for somebody. I mean, my Christmas giving and birthday giving over the years, it's always been a book that will come back, like a book that, a year later, 6 months later, someone goes, I really thought that book was going to be really crap, John, the one you gave me. It looked really boring, but I finally read it. And God, it was good.
Why do people always think that? They're always like, oh, thanks. Like, not always, that's not true. But often you give a book and you can just tell that the person's like, thanks a lot.
Yeah, it's not a Ferrari.
I guess you bought this with your staff discount, huh? And I'm like, yeah, but thought went into it.
And to just buy you anything. Absolutely.
What have you already piled up for yourself for the Christmas holidays and reading?
I've tried to be restrained this year. I just feel like naturally a lot of books have piled up during the year that I haven't read yet. I'm trying to like not add to that as I do every year with massive Christmas orders.
I failed. I did that.
What did you get?
Lots. I can't even remember there's that many books. It'll be a surprise.
When the order arrives.
Like, oh, that's right, I got this million other books. That I think it's smaller than the last 2 years of my Christmas orders, but it's definitely big. And I think the thing is as well, like I went into the Christmas essentials and I already had so many of them because the authors come in here, we meet them, and I want to get the book usually anyway, but it just makes it so much easier because the stock's right there and we meet the author and we get it signed, all that kind of stuff.
But then when you look back on it, honestly, sometimes I look at my order history and I'm like, am I working here purely to buy books? Like,
that is a strong possibility.
Is everything I earn going straight back into Booktopia?
I mean, probably. Like, I've already got, the Leanne Moriarty, the Marcus Zusak, Jane Harper, Matthew Riley, Donna Hay. Like, it just goes. I've got, like, and this is just from the Christmas essentials list. I was, like, going through
that
before.
That list,
going, tick, tick,
I think,
tick, tick.
Is if anyone just said to me, what books should I buy for people for Christmas, they would be those. That was such a good lineup.
Wasn't it just?
Well, if you, yeah, I mean, the Jane Harper, it's so interesting, just the feedback that keeps coming back with that book. Because there's this great fear with writers like Jane Harper who have that massive success that, oh, it's just a one-off. Like, it's not, she's done it three times now.
She delivers every time. And this, The Lost Man, is definitely my favourite thing she's written. And to be saying that about the author of The Dry is a big deal because I loved The Dry. And I, you know, I just, yeah, I just think this one's even better.
Yeah, and the Leanne Moriarty is so much fun. And if anyone's, you know, anyone's wanting to give somebody a gift, especially if they're going on holidays, that's the book.
Well, I already gave it to my mom and she loved it.
Yeah. It's
and
so good.
I would have got it for Christmas.
It's so wild. That's what I love about it. Like, it's amazing,
it's Leanne Unplugged.
Awesome, vintage Moriarty humour and feels. And then it just takes this spectacularly glorious turn at some point and just takes you to a place that you did not see coming. And it's really...
I think she holds it too. Like, I think
no one else could do it. No, if anyone else tried to do that, you'd be like, sure. But, like, but Leanne can do it.
Do you know what I really want to get? I just kept putting it off for some reason. I think because I've been spending too much money on books. But I really want to get the Lee Sales book, The Any Ordinary Day. And I don't know if I want to get it for myself or for my mum.
Well, that is a mortal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Multiple books. I feel like it'd be just one of those great books, or for someone who maybe is having a bit of a rough time.
Life. It's such a weird thing. I tweeted on the weekend that it's a book about death that uplifts you. It's just weird.
Yeah.
Like, you come out feeling really hopeful. Good and hopeful about life and how wonderful people are to other people in times of need.
Mm-hmm.
And
how you can rise above and push through and all that kind of stuff. And we're stronger than we realize. And that's such a great message that she's put
in. Any Ordinary Day. It's one of those gifting books that people, they will come back to you.
They might go, oh, this sounds a bit heavy. I'm not going to read it over Christmas.
But then they will.
And then they eventually will read it. And...
Yeah.
Be like, oh, this is amazing.
And people that, like, it's gone, it's had success, and Lee's a famous woman, so it's always going to have a certain amount of success.
Yeah.
But this is success beyond that, because people are just making other people read it, like, they're handing it to them going, you have to read this. Yeah. And then people are, like, we're seeing orders come through where it's five or six copies of it at a time. It's not just one copy for the person buying it. They know they're going to give it to five or six different people.
I bet you those orders are. They've already read it, and these are all the people they're giving it
to. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, and then that's where, like, it's just gone, like it went to the top of our bestseller list. It's just keeps smashing records and expectations. It's been a great success. It's been a marvelous success, really.
Yeah, it has. Like, the fact that we've had her in here multiple times. And I wouldn't be surprised if she comes in again, to be honest. And
yeah, I hope so.
Liz is a regular here.
Yeah. Sarah and I had a great opportunity of talking to Lee Child the other day about his about his new book, Past Tense. We both read the book, I read the book ages ago because I got an early copy, and then we kind of reread it to the interview. And, you know, there's something weird about Jack Reacher books. I can't put my finger on it. And we asked him, you know, what is the secret to his success? And there's a kind of, he writes without any plan. And so there's a feeling in the book that anything can happen. And he doesn't know what's going to happen. So there's a certain kind of suspense all the way through the book. And Past Tense has two lines of suspense. There's a story about Jack, and there's also a story about these two young Canadians who get caught up in trouble. And these two lines, you know, they're gonna meet, and Jack's gonna meet these two.
And you just want them to come together.
Yeah. And he just plays with us the whole novel. It's great. It's absolutely great fun.
That was because I was listening to the podcast, and that was something that I really liked when he said that he doesn't write with a plan because he feels like it boxes him into a corner. And if he's writing, and he feels like, you know, his character should do something, this would be natural, but he's boxed himself into a corner that he can't do it. And I think that really, you know, translates in just how real his characters are and how...
Also, what a bloody genius he is.
He was made for this, yeah. Like, I think it's to listen to his writing process, it's clear that so much of it is instinct because he knows how to tell a story how to entertain people.
Worked in the entertainment industry, and he's read a billion, trillion books in the genre that he just understands it to his core.
It's pretty
it's still amazing. He's like the king of all discovery writers, or pantsers, or whatever.
Pantsers, I love that, pantsers.
There's a gardener.
Gardener
and an architect. He's a gardener. He just like goes in. Packs things away.
There are some absolutely divine books on offer. One of them is Simple, the cookbook, which everyone here is cooking from.
I'm definitely getting that for people for Christmas.
Yeah, no, it's a gorgeous book object itself, but then the recipes inside and the photos are just divine.
I'm really getting into the cookbooks lately, I've got to say. I've bought a million in the last couple of months alone.
I have no space at home.
The Donna Hay, the Pete Evans.
They take up so much room as well.
Yeah, they do, but man, they're so worth it. And I've got this massive, massive pile on the dining room table of them, and I swear if I don't start distributing them evenly, my table will collapse on one side.
I'm a bit obsessed with Special Guest.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, the Annabelle Crabb.
Special Guest.
Also because she's just delightful.
Yeah. You want to give Special Guest to your friends because then when you accidentally pop over, yeah, you'll have great food to eat. Because it pretty much trains you to be ever ready for friends popping over.
That's a great way of thinking, Dan. Because I'm more like, don't give it to anyone. Just like pass yourself off as this amazing, like you have all the tricks up your sleeve.
Be the one fed, not the one fed.
Don't be the feeder.
Don't be the feeder.
Feedee.
That's how you play this game.
Yeah, it's very smart.
That's actually a very good idea, isn't it?
Give it to everybody.
Make sure that everywhere you go, everyone has an awesome dish up their sleeve, ready to feed you.
And there's the new Yumi signs as well.
Oh yeah,
which is so fun.
That just makes cooking so easy.
It's fun as well. You just look at that whole cookbook and you're like, oh, I can't wait to just delve into this and see what I got.
Such a good gift as well.
I want to give out a lot, and this is going to be a mission, is Boys Will Be Boys by Clementine Ford.
Who will you give that to?
Every man and every woman. It just stirs up discussion, and a man reading it will, there's no doubt that there'll be behaviours that are just instinctual or just habitual that you'll feel ashamed of. Have this. Read this.
But I would say, as important as it is for men to read it, it's just as important for women to read it, because
to get that perspective.
You can be so aware of the ways in which, like, society is against you as a woman, but you don't often compute the way it's programming men as well.
Mm.
Like, you clock the results of it and you're annoyed, but you don't think about, like, this guy who's pissed you off, right? He was a little boy once, being told not to cry and being told, like, I just think it's important that everyone read that book because it's so thoughtful and it's so full of really important, like, vital ideas that we should all have foremost in our mind.
Yeah. And the thing is, great discussion starter kind of books, they're not always right. Like, she's not going to say everything in this book is right. Yeah. She's just putting out these ideas to start a conversation and get an argument going and get
that's it, because I was thinking of a few people that I would cringe to give it to, you know, that they might react badly to it, but then I thought maybe they're the people who need it the most.
They need it more than anyone,
Read this book and we'll have an argument, it's fine.
But it's really easy to read and it just drags you through too. Like, it's well done. Like, it's not a dry text.
No, it is full of feeling.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of anger, which they're rightful
it's
anger.
It's funny too.
But it's funny. And it's full of heart because she's writing this as the mother of a young boy who she's worried about.
Yeah.
I found it to be incredibly touching, amazing book. Like, I really liked Fight Like a Girl, but I think Boys Will Be Boys just ratchets everything up to this amazing level, and everyone should read it.
Now, what about Sarah? Because unlike me, you have little people in your life. And
to buy books for.
Yeah, and so, like, for people out there who have kids in their lives that they want to get books for. I mean, look, I buy these books for myself, I'll be honest. Like, I have the new Sean Tan.
Well, a good kids book is for everyone.
The new Wanda Smith, like, from Jessica Townsend. I have that. It's going to be great. It's gorgeous and all that. But, you know, yes, for people who actually have kids in their lives.
Well, I'll be giving little people some Macca books by Matt Cosgrove.
Macca is great. Who doesn't love
Macca? Macca the Alpaca.
Yeah. Oh, yes, we should clarify.
Macca the Alpaca books.
And Arab Laby never goes awry, especially the Pig the Elf one, because it is Christmas.
I've already given every existing pig book. Like, they've already got them. So I need to branch out. I might get Thelma the Unicorn.
It's one of the most prolific.
He's got so there's no writers. Shortage. I've just run out of pig. Yeah, there's no more pig to get. I
want to give Ice Monster. I think David Walliams' books are just. I mean,
it's a beautiful cover.
He's not ashamedly. He doesn't hide from the fact that he loved the Roald Dahl books and then wanted more of them, and so he wrote some more.
Yeah,
like it's pretty much that.
Yeah, so he, and it's got that same kind of very British,
very British,
but just like, madness as well.
Yeah, very very quirky humor. But I mean, they're kids eat them up.
That's the problem. Sometimes, being a kids writer must be really difficult because if you're Jeff Kinney and you're writing another A Diary of a Wimpy Kid, 15 minutes later after the kids got it, he's just gobbled it down.
He wants the next one. But the great thing about kids, though, is that they'll read it again and again.
Yeah.
If you read it in a different voice or in a different location, suddenly it's a whole other book.
I think we lose that a bit as adults. I do reread.
I will
rarely read a book and thoroughly enjoy it so much that I'll just read it immediately again.
Yeah, whereas a kid, let's read it again for the fourth time that night. You're like, please not. But often what's so great is that if, these books, as I said, I'm an adult and I own them and I read them for me for pleasure. If I can do that, then the idea of having to, these authors, they make them entertaining for adults as well.
Mm.
I love that. I think that's so great. There's something in there for you. You chuckle. And the kid has no idea what you're laughing about, but you do.
Yeah.
So good.
We haven't spoken about Peter Fitzsimons' new book, and I'm terrified to think that
we've gone from to this podcast. Kids' books to Peter Fitzsimons.
Yeah, well, he's a big pirate.
Well, this is a go-to Christmas gift.
Yeah, well, Mutiny on the Bounty. I think people think they know the story of Mutiny on the Bounty because maybe the films or just because the way
history,
it's been told.
Yeah.
But there's so much more to that story, and it's such an incredible survival journey from the South Pacific all the way, and this tiny little boat these guys get put into, and Bly gets them all the way into Indonesia. It's beyond belief, the achievement. And it was so noteworthy at the time. It was big news, global news, these people have managed to do this, because no one had done it before. No one could possibly think they could be put into a small little boat, a whole lot of people in a small little boat, and then be able to navigate all the way to Indonesia across, masses of ocean and through pretty much places that Western civilization didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
So it's an extraordinary story. But then there's also the story of Bligh himself, not to mention little known person, but now much better known because of the book, William Purcell.
My direct
ancestor, the most annoying person on the boat. Yes.
Your relation to this person is in no way proven by any fact, right?
It's just the fact that you've both got
the same last name, and we've now mentioned in so many places that you're related that I think it goes down in history.
I think beyond DNA and any research, right?
No genealogy went into this.
No, whatsoever. He was annoying, and he was the only person that they bothered to court-martial at the end because he was that annoying. And I just feel that's kind of...
That spoke to you?
Yeah, it spoke to me. I thought, if I was on a boat like that, I'd be the most annoying. He wouldn't play fair. He wouldn't give his toys to anyone else. He wouldn't let them use his carpentry tools.
I think if I went on a long, drawn-out sea voyage with you, I'd court-martial you at the end of it.
If he made it through.
Can we class that as proved, then?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. As far as no science attests, this is your ancestor, John.
But you know what as well? This is such the perfect story that so sort of painful is that my dad does not read. But
you've got to change that.
No, I can't.
Climb to a chair and read to him.
Everyone has their gateway book. You've just got to find it.
Oh, I don't think it happens. But I've still considered buying him it because this is so the kind of thing that if there was a documentary, he would watch it. He wouldn't read it because he can't.
Brian, you can do this.
Okay. Should I buy the book and be like, Dad, you have to read it?
Just
and
say.
It's a present to me. Read
just
this book.
Give him the two-page rule. Just be like.
I love your two-page rule.
Give the book and then put it in his bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And then he'll read it in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. No, basically I just disconnect the TV.
I missed out on one of the greatest events at Booktopia this year when Shane Warne came to visit.
Oh,
what a great day that was.
That was a great day.
And I mean, because I'm not in the inner circle on this whole Shane Warne. Do you want to talk about Shane Warne?
Oh, well,
Shane Warne came in.
He was great.
Look, I will admit freely I'm not the biggest cricket fan.
Neither am I.
So I just didn't expect to enjoy meeting Shane Warne as much as I enjoyed meeting Shane Warne.
He was so lovely. He was really funny. I felt like I'd known him for years. He made us feel really relaxed, and he started playing some music.
Yeah, we all got to listen to Shane Warne's personal playlist.
Yeah, and we were all so relaxed and having fun that we all started singing. We were singing the Grease medley and doing the dance moves, and all while signing. This is great.
Which I have to say is not something I ever really...
Is that a truck
really,
running through the building?
I believe so. It's a giant game of 10-pin bowling being played in our warehouse.
The sounds of the warehouse, everyone.
I never knew that... singing the Grease soundtrack with Shane Warne was something I desperately wanted to do with my life until it was happening. And I'm like, oh, life goal achieved. Life goal I never knew I had achieved.
He's going around Australia right now, winning over every bookseller in Australia one by one by his charm, like his charisma.
It's so true, because now this is the book that I will tell everyone to buy for Christmas.
I agree. Especially if there's one sort of sport book I'm going to recommend, I'm going to be like... Shane Warne, because he's great and his story therefore must be great.
Like,
if he's that entertaining in person, imagine the kind of influence
the book
he had.
He's very honest.
Yeah.
Very open.
Yes, and that's what he's, you know, Lee Sayles said he was.
Yeah, well, you take it from Lee Sayles, who's almost as much a cricket fan as Sarah, and who is now non-stop talking about Shane Warne. It's very interesting. They've all saying the book is absolutely wonderful. So it's pretty much the, apart from Rod Marsh, it's about the only cricket book that's out there at the moment. So if you've got cricket fans this Christmas, you've got two books to give, Rod Marsh and you've got Shane Warne.
I don't think you can go wrong with it, because I think here's
the
thing.
They're very different books.
You think you know Shane Warne, but you don't really know Shane Warne, but then you do. Because everything you know is correct. But it's just more charming than you would think it is.
Yeah, there's more, which is really great.
And the Rod Marsh. I mean, Rod Marsh is amazing.
Absolutely. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that and his book, because it's in the illustrated autobiography.
The photos in that book are gold.
It is so good.
The 70s photos are just absolutely
that
gold.
That is actually a gorgeous book.
Yeah. Yeah.
This gorgeous hardcover, and when you take the jacket off, it's got this amazing, cover underneath it.
Yeah. And it beautiful is really, photos. It's a gift book because it's big, it's beautiful, it's clearly not just something you picked up in a $2 shop kind of thing.
It's a lush coffee table
book. It really is. That you can read and, like, it's not just look at pictures, it's got a great story behind it.
Because
it's Rod Marsh.
Yeah. Beautiful book.
So anyone who grew up in the 70s and the early 80s watching cricket, this is the book for them.
Yeah. And then the more, you know, the younger folk, like, I got my friend a copy because he plays cricket now. You know, so I got him Shane Warne's book as opposed to Rod Marsh. So there's something for every generation.
Every generation of cricket lover.
We haven't really spoken. We touched on Marcus Luzak's book. But we haven't
oh, my gosh, we need to talk about it in depth.
Yeah, because it's a book that everyone was kind of anxious about because it's been
so
long.
Well, because of the build-up. Yeah. It takes anyone 13 years to write something, then there's a lot of expectation hanging on that, especially when...
You wrote the book.
Yeah. Yeah. So you write a book, takes the world by storm, everyone loves it.
And then
you
disappear.
And then this long build-up for this second book. So I think it would have been extraordinarily nerve-wracking to be Marcus Luzak. And I think everyone was sort of waiting with bated breath. And then we get this big, beautiful, glorious Australian... Bridge of Clay. Yeah.
Like, just thinking about, because I remember getting the proof, expecting to open it to find rewritten, overwritten, agonizing prose that just would not live.
Authors sit there polishing work for 13 years.
Yeah, it just dies.
Yeah.
But nothing. This is just fresh and lively and breathes, lives and breathes. It's just... Marvellous, absolutely marvellous.
It's bursting with life and feeling.
And it's big. It's one of those big Australian classics. It's like it's got so much going on, and the brothers are so well characterised. The landscape that they're in, the father, and the backstories that come through.
You will fall in love with this book, like, honestly. And I will say that the first time I picked it up, I got distracted by another book. Mm. And you know when that happens sometimes, you pick up a book and if anything like derails you from getting to that point where you're hooked, then you might delay going back to it.
Mm.
And I did, and I'm just so glad that I went back and picked it up again, because it just turned out to be one of my favorite reads of this year.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that it's not immediately engaging. It's just like, you know, you get derailed sometimes. We read a lot of books.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on us to sort of stop reading because of the next interview that might be coming through.
Yeah. I can't even remember what the book was that made me... Oh, and also, there was such a line of people that wanted the proof that I felt all this pressure to, like,
get through.
Okay, well, I'm not reading it right this second, so you read it now.
Yeah, but then that's how long it takes them to get through it. So that is a great list of books that we all have to buy. So, I mean...
It's one of the best Christmases in books that I can remember.
I agree, there's so much choice, and I'm so excited to see the books.
And everyone's saying it. Everyone you speak to is like, oh my God, this year.
This Christmas is insane.
Such a great selection across every sort of different type of book you can imagine. Yeah. It's great in non-fiction, it's great in fiction, it's great in genre fiction, it's great in literary fiction.
Kids, yeah. There's like great box sets out, there's, you know, it's just amazing. So.
It's an amazing year.
Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. Hope your Christmas shopping goes well, and we'll catch you next Wednesday at 11 a.m.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.